verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." So let us stand and sing together, "Forever."
Well, how are you? Everybody okay? Yeah. Sounds like a bunch of crickets in here with the right coughing. You do what you have to do, don't you?
Amen.
And this is just the flu and cold season, so that's okay. You know, the scriptures say, you greet one another with a heavenly kiss. I ain't doing that during this time of the year. I'm just going to be scripturally disobedient. So that's something else. But please take care of yourself. The flu is really no laughing matter. It really affects people in such negative ways. And, you know, they're trying to limit exposure, some of the schools and the hospitals and things like that. And I understand that, and I comply with that. Last night, my wife and I went to a dance recital. There weren't many people there. How many do you think were there?
400.
400 or so. Day two, it always slacks off. But when you have grandchildren, you have to go, you know, and they're always wonderful. And they always do great things. And I've got that down. I was so proud of myself. I made it through that two-hour-plus presentation. I didn't fall asleep, or if I did, I didn't snore. And I didn't have to leave four times to go to the bathroom. So I was all right. You know, I had to be a witness. It was just great. But, you know, that's for children. I'm glad to see they're doing good, wholesome things. And that's important as well. A lot of things to remember in prayer. Please remember your pastoral search committee. And I hope during this interim time I've kind of helped you along the way with that a little bit on the journey. There's so many churches now going through the exact same experience. And that's something we need to be in prayer about. As God adds new people to the fold and finds new pastors, that's very important. And that's your job. Your job's praying about that search, praying about who needs to come this way. I know God's got someone, you know, and he'll reveal him, her, it to you as soon as they can. So that's very, very important. And, you know, I think sometimes we get kind of down. Oh, we're the only church in the world going through this. That's not true. You know, especially a church of the size and reputation of this one. And that's good. You can build on that. And that's positive, and you need to build in a positive way. So please do that. I understand you had a good annual meeting. There weren't too many fist fights. No, I don't. I was going to say I miss those days. No, I don't. So the biggest fight one of my churches ever got into, I wasn't a fight, it was kind of an argument, was that the Coke machine was not making enough money. And we argued about going to Pepsi. So I don't know. I made a great decision the last few years that I was at that church. I didn't go to business meetings. That way I didn't really hate anybody. You know, it's just easier that way. You know, it's your church. You make up Coke or Pepsi. You decide. So, but that's the life in the body. And we need to remember that. Also remember February 3rd, the officers training at Parchment Valley. That's always a good experience, and they have all kinds of good options. It's in your West Virginia Baptist magazine, and I hope some of you plan to go. My wife and I plan to go. I'm going to be on the other side of the coin this time because I'm not in planning, or I just show up. And then I can fill out one of those critical suggestion things like everybody else used to. But, it is a good experience, and top-notch people. And there's a lot of questions about taxes and security and all that. They deal with all those things. And they have a kind of a class for everything. And I hope you'll take time to look at that and come and join us in Parchment Valley. And if nothing else, it's a cheap day for $15 and you get lunch, you know, and that's important. What's going on in your life right now that you'd like to lift up to your sisters and brothers in prayer besides the flu and cold season? Yes, ma'am. Very good. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. After all, we sometimes forget it's your day, it's not our day. And we want to make the most of it for you and not ourselves. We just ask that you'll come and walk among us today. You've heard a lot of concerns, some praises, some concerns and some thanksgivings and a lot of just special requests for people. And we just ask that in this time that we share together, we'll understand again how good you are and what your will is for our life. Father, help us never to stop communicating, talking to one another, praying for and with one another, and lifting up the needs that we know round about. And so today, as we enter into a time of prayer, we just open our hearts to you. Come and walk among us. Help us to hear and help us to know your love. Father, we pray during this time together that we as a church body might look to you for your holy leadership as we find a new pastor. We know you know. And now we ask that you'll reveal to them and to us your will. Thank you for the patience that the people have had in this body. Thank you for the support people have offered in this body. Thank you for the way in which you're dealing with us and helping us understand that many times we just have to trust your will and trust your way. And so today we ask that you'll pour on another modicum of trust to you. Thank you for the good leaders of this church. Thank you for the extra time and energy that people put in teaching and leading and preparing and making sure this church is right for service. We remember those that can't be with us today, those that come every week, but today because of sickness or a situation can't be here. And we just hope they know they're missed. They'll soon be back with us. Now, Father, we pray for the larger church, the worldwide church. We pray for her missionaries. We pray for the missions that are going on. We pray for those places that have been struck by natural disaster. We pray that all of us may stop during a busy day and just remember you. Be with us now. Open our hearts, open our minds, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Today we're looking at Moses' last words to his people. And he's talking here about consequences. He's talking here about the consequences of apostasy and the consequences of disobedience. And he's saying, look, people, it's a matter of life and death. And it's important. It's always interesting that before we start looking through the Old Testament, we find that there's always a review of past blessings and the reality of present concerns. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget to rehearse our faith history. You know, every church, every body of Christ has a faith history, a Heils Geschichte, if you want to learn a new word of the day. And that faith history is important because it tells us really where you're coming from so we'll know where you're going to. And one of the things that we have to do in our life constantly is know where we came from so we know where we go to. Several years ago, I was doing a study about the Amish. And so the staff kind of joined in with me, and we took a year and just looked at their faith roots, because they have the same faith roots as Baptists. And so we went to Amish country, and we had a staff meeting, and we did all kinds of interesting things. And I came fascinated by them because they, every year or so, take time and celebrate their faith roots. And I think we as Baptists forget to do that. Where do we come from? Because if we know where we came from, then maybe we'll know where we're going. And that's important. I like going up to Amish country. It's taking that step back from modern society and modern culture and looking at all the things that are going on. Plus, they have some marvelous food. And I'm a great worshiper of food. And so we try to go up there a couple times a year. But it's interesting. Can you imagine if you had to get up this morning and kind of hitch old Dobbin to the sleigh and get down here for his church? I think there'd probably a whole different culture around us if we had to do that. Well, they still do that, and they remind us of those faith roots. And here is the same type of thing going on in Deuteronomy. During this last sermon, if you will, Moses says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. Now, to us, we read through that and say, oh, well, he's deciding about a choice that you have to make between life and death. But there's so much more in this verse. He's reminding us of blessings and curses. Sometimes we forget that back in the olden days, as people were developing their theology, they really believed in the reality of blessings and the reality of curses. They felt that curses were something very, very real. And if you curse someone, that word lived itself out. There's a story about the rabbis that be walking down the street with their sons or their daughters. And if someone would be mad at them and start cursing them, they would push their children to the ground so the words would go over their heads, would not touch them. Because if they touched them, they felt those curses lived themselves out. It's the same way with blessings. They felt if you were blessed, that blessing lived itself out. There were real power in the life of words, especially in Old Testament times. And I really believe there's power in words today. There's power in blessing someone. There's power in cursing someone. We have to understand that both of them lived out, not just physically, but emotionally. How do you feel when someone blesses you? How do you feel when someone said, boy, you did a good job? You know, it makes your day. As a matter of fact, there was a study done for employers that said that people would work harder if you praised them and gave them a blessing than they would if you gave them a raise. I don't know about that, but it brings home a good point. How many times do we take time to tell somebody you're doing a good job? How many times do we sign off on a blessing? Or do we always just want to curse someone? The Old Testament folks understood that that's very important. And here Moses is saying, you've got to choose life. You've got to choose. You've got to make a choice. And the choice is up to you. I have set before you today life and death. And during this last speech, he's calling the children of Israel that they stood at the threshold of a promised land and a beginning of a new day. He's telling them this is a time of a new beginning. And it's also a time of choices, a time to consider the direction their lives would take and the priorities that direction would set. Sometimes in the church, we get so caught up in churchy LePew things that we forget to take time to be holy. Take time to decide, what direction do you want to go? Most churches have struggles because they lose sight of what direction do they want to go? How do they want to be a blessing to each other? How do they want to be a blessing to the community? How do they want to be a blessing? Because if you're not a blessing here, you're also going to be a curse. And it's kind of important for us just to stop for a while and understand the quality of the types of things we're doing. That when you teach a Sunday school class, you teach the best one you can, because you don't know the effects that's having on the student. We have to be aware at this new time that the choices we make bring quality to our church. Now, it's one thing to preach a sermon. It's another thing to live a sermon. It's another thing to live out your life among people. People see the way you live out your life, and it's important for them to understand, and understand also not only the circumstances, but also the fact that you can control your attitude, and you can interpret and respond to any circumstance. I learned really early on, if people get upset with you, they will allow you to accept the guilt. Remember one lady was taking me down the road about something. It's funny how you remember the people and your reaction to them, but you don't remember the circumstance. And she came up after church. She said, preacher, and you always know you're in trouble when they call you preacher. Preacher, you hurt my feelings. And I looked at her and said, no, I didn't. And I think that was like someone shot her. She said, what do you mean? You didn't? I said, I can't hurt your feelings. Well, you did? No, I didn't. I can't hurt your feelings. They're your feelings. If you grow them, if you develop them, and if you polish them, if you lead them with the Holy Spirit, they're your feelings. And I can't hurt your feelings. I don't own them. You own them. It was kind of a revelation to me that people need to be told that. I thought people understood that. But they don't. They need to be told they're your feelings. So if you're kind of feeling bad about something, you need to ask yourself, why am I feeling bad about that? What's going on in my life that makes me hypersensitive? What's going on in my life that cuts into the quality of my life as a Christian? It's important that we interpret and respond to circumstances in certain ways, because you have to watch that. It's important that people are watching the way you respond. And it's important. You know, we live in a time of lack of healthy communication. And I don't mean just politicians. I mean everybody. There's just a lack of healthy communications. It's also very interesting to me, and I know this just will pique your interest, that the word communications and communion are the same word, the same root. And that's very important, because sometimes we forget the sacredness of communication, the sacredness of it. Now, we celebrate that. We're coming up on, what, Valentine's Day? That's another holiday. You know, and, you know, I'm just a great romantic person. And I hope I remember it this year. You want something red, right? I don't know. It's important. You know, but, you know, that's part of communication. Why do we have to have a day to tell somebody that they're significant? They need to know they're significant every day of their life. And that's important. And the other thing is, it's hard for us men to be communicators. Am I the only one that's noticed that? You ladies know that. It's hard for them to say words and to do things. You know, we have three sons, and Mo, Larry, and Curly. They're wonderful young men. And one of them is a very unusual romantic person. You never know what he's going to do. And when he proposed to his wife, everybody was working on this for a while, and he just wouldn't propose to his wife. So they had a birthday party for him, and there he proposed to his wife. And it's kind of interesting to hear all the stories, because he just does things very differently. He's the son that has animals that are both females, but they have male names. We have Floyd the dog and Ralphie the cat. And is there a problem back there? You better break that up next. You have the same problem? Or? But anyway, he just does things differently. And his poor fiance, well, Mandy, she said, I don't think Adam's ever going to ask me to marry him. And I said, that's when you got to watch out. That's the way he strikes. Now, our oldest son, now he's the big romantic. He asked Kelly to marry him as he was going to Walmart. I mean, where else do you ask somebody? I mean, he's got it down. But, you know, the important thing is working on communication skills. Now, we laugh at that because we identify with it in certain ways. We do the same thing in church. We do actually the same thing in our groups and in the way we relate to one another. We don't communicate very well. We need to work on that, because it's the next thing to having communion with God. If we don't communicate with earthly people very well, how in the world can we communicate with our Heavenly Father? It's a kind of important that we understand that the fact is that we dodge those great questions of life. Clarence Darrell mentioned that in his book just before he died. He said, we deal with things that are so unimportant. Just think of all the unimportant things you deal with. Moses is saying here, pay attention. This is a matter of life and death. And that's very, very important. It's kind of interesting to me that we forget that we have to choose life. Robert Louis Stevenson was long familiar with hardships and sickness and all the things that go on with that. But he grumbled for nothing. He reflected on everything. He regretted very little. And he said that. He said, I've been sick and I've been well, but it doesn't make any difference. I've had life. And I think we need to understand that we have to have life, that you're blessed, and you need to take those blessings and go out and make a big, big difference. You know, we have to choose, and that's what the Scripture's saying. It's not us a choice for individuals, but also it's a choice for this church. You have to choose. Are you going to be a blessing? Or are you going to be a curse? If this church wasn't here any longer, would it be missed? I think that's a very important question. And a lot of our churches wouldn't be. And that's why we're having trouble with relevance in our, you know, are we relevant in our community? Are people listening to us? We're living in a kind of an unusual state right now. Here are all kinds of dire predictions of a big strike coming, big teacher strike. And they're having a lot of communities are having marches and protests. We had one in Parkersburg outside of South Parkersburg Baptist Church because it's next to South High School. That's where the most teachers are. And they were had their signs and all that. And I don't understand all of that. But, you know, that's when they were interviewing people, I was reading through the paper and they said, this is the only way we can get people to listen to us, is to make a public statement. I wonder, what kind of a day and age do we live in that we have to protest, we have to stand out in front of things with paper placards to get people to listen to us? What are we doing to get people to listen to us? You know, it's very important that we have to be relevant. Many years ago, we started forgetting our importance in the community. And when we forget our importance, the community does. They overlook us. And we need to understand that if you choose life, then there's something else here. It says, therefore, choose life for you and your descendants. Now, sometimes we think of our immediate children, but it's for everybody. Forever. I would challenge you today that this is a time to choose. Choose the best for your church. Not choose the best person for your pastor, but choose the best you can be for this community of faith. What can you do to make this absolutely the best church possible? And when you make that choice, you make that choice every day. And I want you to choose it. I want you to make a big difference. So in the years to come, I can look back through my notes and say, hey, I was that wonderful church, and look at all the great things they have done. But most importantly, look at all the marvelous things they are doing. They do it because of people like you that come every Sunday, that support what's going on because you have decided to choose life. It is a choice. And I challenge you to make a difference. I challenge you to allow the Holy Spirit to come and walk among you. I challenge you to call on God and tell Him how much you need Him every hour. I call upon you to make a difference. It's been a joy to be with you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I will remember fondly these days, and even the days filled with snow and ice and cursing as I came down the highway. But I made it. And I heard one of the leaders of the church saw me one Sunday, and it was miserable out. And he said, I was just expecting you to call me and tell me you weren't coming. And I said, well, I'm here. Where's everybody else? You know, it's important. Because sometimes I know it's hard to get up and get going, especially if you got a bunch of little kids and a miserable husband to get out the door. But if you do that, someone's watching you, and they'll do it because you're doing it. That's the choice of life. What are some other ways you're choosing life? What are some other ways you're making a difference? I challenge you in the days ahead to make a difference. Pray with me now, please. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these folk. They've had a lot of challenges behind them. They have challenges before them, but they have chosen to be a part of this community of faith. And I just pray that it will grow and prosper, not for them, but for your kingdom's sake. This is a good day. These are good people. Now come and walk among them as we enjoy this time together. That we will serve your kingdom, and that kingdom will come on earth and make a difference right now. And all of God's people said, amen. I need thee every hour. That's our closing hymn. If that's something you feel today and you need to make a decision, I'll be down front waiting. But whatever it is, you leave this place. Go forth from this place and make a difference. Well, come downstairs. We'll have a snack and talk some more. That's important. I appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. Let me pray with you. Father God, thank you for this day and the way you're moving among us. We need a new sign because we're building a new church here. We're moving in a new direction, and I'm thankful for those that take that very, very seriously. Now come and walk among us. As we leave this place, may we go and walk in the world and tell others about Jesus. In his precious name, I ask this blessing. And all of God's people said,